Welcome to Happy Hour. Happy Monday, everybody. Sean Campbell, your local alternative Solid State Radio. A lot of stuff to get into today. Of course, the Red Wings. We'll be spending plenty of time on them as they somehow, I don't even know how they managed to do it, but they do keep their playoff hopes alive by beating the Maple Leafs, a thing I don't think any of us thought had a chance in hell of happening. We'll get into that. The other big NHL news of the weekend, you already know what it is. If you've been listening to us make fun of this team for the last, 7 years or so? The Tigers are in action tonight as well. Of course, Harvey Baez had a few things to say about the fans and booing and gestures and things being made back to the fan base and whatnot. Like, we'll get into that stuff coming up in a bit. Like, I have a feeling that that's going to end up not being a very popular thing among the Tiger fan base, what Baez had to say about the fans here just mercilessly booing him, regardless of how much he may deserve it. And then, of course, the Pistons. Troy Weaver's still here, somehow. No one's entirely sure how this is. I know I don't have a clue. We'll get into it all coming up. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. So we got to talk about the Pistons. And not just really kind of briefly, because
broke a record, they did.
They did. A franchise low for this team. 14 games, 14 wins this season. And after four of the eight worst seasons in Pistons history, Troy Weaver still has a job as of this broadcast. And not only does it sound like they're not going to fire him, it sounds like they're just going to hire a babysitter for him. Not making this up. Apparently, per The Athletic, Tom Gorez is planning on hiring a president of basketball operations, someone to make the final decisions on things up there.
Okay, I guess.
But they're still going to let Troy Weaver and Arne Tellem and the current Motley crew up there be a part of the decision-making process, even though none of them have shown that they are qualified to run a McDonald's, much less a billion-dollar NBA franchise.
It has been really tough to be a Pistons fan. I'm not really big into basketball, period, but you know, you root for the home teams, and it's just they're not doing well. So, I guess they're setting themselves up well for the draft. You hope?
Yeah, you do kind of hope. But I can't feel like any sense of confidence in this brain trust to do what needs to be done, because the last 4 years has shown me that they can't. Like, if this were a professionally run basketball team, Troy Weaver would have been shown the door this morning. Like, you know, yes. I'm not saying shove him out the door immediately after the game last night, though I would have liked to have seen that. You know, take him out for a nice lunch or, you know, a coffee or something of that sort and deliver the news that way, but do it today. Monty Williams would have been right out the door with him, quite honestly. Yeah, like, that, he's clearly shown that he doesn't want to be here since the second he got here. I mean, that was obvious when, well, he turned him down like five times and they offered him stupid money, so he decided to stick around.
I mean, that would be the diplomatic way of going about it, but you know what I think we all would like to see is that the end of the fourth quarter of that last game always is like, you know, fan appreciation night, and here comes the catapult, and then they low Weaver right into the catapult.
I'm entirely fine with make this.
Make some noise. Here comes a noise meter. 3, 2. I'd like to resign.
I'd be fine with that, but
yeah.
It does kind of beg the question, is there a more hopeless franchise in all of pro sports right now than the Detroit Pistons?
Arizona Coyotes? I mean, we'll talk about them later. But
No, there's at least some upside there, and you're right, we will talk about that coming up.
Oh, too much. We're going to be talking too much about it. But there, I mean, no, to answer your question, no. When you're talking about, I mean, what, NBA is 82 games?
Yes.
82 games, and
correct.
You only win 14 of them? I mean, I can't think of any professional sports team that's worse than that.
Yeah, no, it's hard to see. It's not even just the current results, because, I mean, the process Sixers, the only team that so far has been worse than this horrendous product. They at least had a game plan of some sort. They were just building up picks, building up that war chest, and they did eventually at least turn that team into a real contender. And that just hasn't happened. Like, it hasn't been... That just hasn't been the case. Like, there doesn't seem to be any sort of plan for the future. You can at least see what they were trying to do with that team. Here, it's like, well, we're going to strip this thing of all its assets, and I believe we still owe some draft picks going forward to teams. And we've ended up with Cade Cunningham, Ivy, who can't play with Cade Cunningham, and a whole lot of nothing else. Like, they're just, the pieces aren't here. You don't really have draft capital, and what draft capital you do have, you can't really trust the current brain trust to use it wisely. I can only think of one team right now that is a more just hopeless, pathetic franchise than the Pistons are, That is the Oakland A's.
I have not been paying attention, but I know the Tigers were able to take care of them.
Well, they're not spending, they're not making an attempt to field a competitive team. They're trying to actively anger what's left of their fan base in Oakland so that presumably, because they won't feel so bad about moving them to Sacramento for 3 years and then moving them to Vegas ultimately.
I thought they were going to Vegas right away, but apparently they're
going to... No, because they don't have a stadium there. They still haven't approved a stadium for that team.
So they're going to Vegas.
They might get stuck in Sacramento for a longer term than they think. They haven't even got a stadium approved out there. That's how bad it is. So they're going to be playing in a minor league arena for the next 3 years with an owner that is probably every bit as clueless as Tom Gores, but is like smarter with his... Well, maybe not even smarter with his money. He basically has an asset that he thinks he's going to be able to sell off. Hopefully, when they get to Vegas, unless he decides to hold on to it long term, which would immediately put them back in front of the most hopeless franchise in pro sports race.
Yeah, I mean, and the dumbest team name ever. I mean, the A's, okay, but it stands for athletics. I think I was well into my teens, in my 20s, before I realized the A's stand for athletics, and I was like, how stupid.
It was the 1900s. It was a different time.
It was a different time now.
Like, that's just what you named teams back then. It was always either, you know, something like athletics or something that implied that these you know, plumbers and people that sort of were athletic, or it was something about the color of their socks. Like, that's just what they did at the time, and we just accept it, okay? Yeah. But no, it's really, to me...
Here's a bunch of plumbers who work on septic fields. They're the brown socks.
But no, it's like, other than that, and that's a team that's actively trying to, like, they're basically enacting the plot of Major League in real life.
Yeah.
And we still can't say that they are definitively a more hopeless, pathetic franchise than the Detroit Pistons. That says a lot. Yeah. And none of it good.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I was thinking, when you were talking, I was trying to think of the 03 Tigers. Now, let's talk about win percentage. Did the Tigers had a larger winning percentage than today's Pistons?
I'll tell you that.
Was it 03? Was it the 03 Pistons? I mean, excuse me, 03 Tigers that just...
It was the 03 Tigers.
Just
no,
stunk it up.
Just historically
awful team. Alan
Trammell
just not able to get it done. Better player, not a good manager.
I don't think that was his fault, though. Like, he got
really
thrown as the scapegoat for a team that Randy Smith had pretty much decimated. Like, I can't blame him for how bad that team was. I mean, what did he really have to work with at that time?
Wasn't the Juan Gonzalez?
This was post-Juan Gon. Juan Gon had already...
been gone.
He was already gone. Like, the best player on your roster at that time was probably, like, your best hitter. Alex Sanchez, who I forgot was a player until, like, just now, and he only played, like, 3 seasons in the league.
Wow.
You had nobody in the rotation. Literally everyone had an ERA of above, like, 5, basically. Nate Cornejo was, like, your best starting pitcher. And I don't think he ever pitched again after that season.
Wow.
So, I mean, he had nothing to work with. You can't blame Alan Trammell for that season.
No.
It was a
no.
.265 winning percentage for them that year, that fateful year that at least they had you know, in baseball, it's never that hopeless because, yeah, your minor leagues may not have produced a lot, but there's no salary cap. You can go out and spend all the money, and you had an owner at the time that was willing to go out and spend all the money once they started building it back up. So that wouldn't say they're hopeless in the same way that your Detroit Pistons are completely and utterly hopeless.
Well, see, now it's really weird because in the middle of this, I don't know how I kind of lost track of the Pistons because it was just so hard to watch. But
well, yeah.
A while there, they were losing, yeah, but they were losing. They were still putting up triple digits. They were still holding on, but then they just couldn't get it done in the fourth quarter. What was going on? I mean, obviously defense was not on the menu when you're scoring over 100 points.
But it's not the menu at all in the NBA anymore, really. Oh, to answer your question, by the way, so 205 winning percentage for the Pistons this season. So, yes, significantly worse by that.
Okay.
But you know, if we're going that route, the 2008 Detroit Lions.
I remember that one.
Yeah. Which at the time might have been even more hopeless than even your current Pistons with complete bad ownership and a bad general manager and everything else. So, I mean, there's certainly an argument to be made that they would have been at one point the most hopeless franchise in all pro sports. But right now, it's this team, and they don't seem to want to do much but rearrange the deck chairs, add a babysitter for the people who have already proven that they can't competently do the job. And it's just, it's frustrating as someone who loved the going to work Pistons, grew up on that team, to watch them basically go into a 15-year tailspin. But that's unfortunately where we find ourselves right now. And if this is the best they can offer, then I don't think that's going to change anytime soon. We've got a lot of other stuff to get to today. Maybe we'll hit on the Wings next. It is happy hour. Stick around. Back after this. It is happy hour, and well, I didn't think I was actually going to have the opportunity to do this today just because, well, we all went into Saturday with a pretty, well, preconceived idea of just exactly how the end of this season was going to play out. But as it turns out, I get to play the music anyway because the Wings actually did a thing on Saturday. Maestro, the music, please.
Yeah, I watched that game like I watch a horror movie, just cover my face, look, peeking through my fingers, watching everything, you know. They pulled out a win, though. I don't know. I mean, I don't know how. They had a fantastic first period and then laid a complete egg in the second period. I mean, you were up 4-1 against the Maple Leafs on Saturday going into the second period, and then three unanswered goals tying it up, nothing in the third period, and then scoring, I think, Dylan Larkin with the game winner in overtime. You also got goals from Alex DeBrincat, two of them from the Cat. And you had a goal from Simon Edmondson, his first as a Red Wing. So good on him. David Perron also scoring in the first period. But, I mean, if they make it to the playoffs, and this is a big IF, folks, this is if they make it to the playoffs, it's this kind of malarkey that's gonna get bounced in the first round,
choking away a 4-1 lead.
Yeah, absolutely choking out a first lead.
Like this team, like I truly feel like this team does not deserve to make the playoffs the way that they're playing. I mean, it was nice to see DeBrincat get out there early and Evanson get on the board and everything else, but then to basically in the second period just give it right back.
Yeah.
Like that can't happen.
Yep.
It just can't.
Yeah, I'm sitting there. We were at a watering hole for a station event, and I was like, they couldn't get the game up where we were at, which is just fine. But then I saw it on the score on my phone, 4-1. Wow. All right. Then you know, next thing I know, it's 4-4, and it wouldn't be so bad. But there were a couple people there who were Maple Leafs fans. I hate that.
Yeah, I don't know why these Maple Leafs fans keep showing up around here, man. It's just the worst.
We need to close the borders,
right? It's not the southern border we need to be worried about. It's the northern.
Yeah, I mean,
40 too many Toronto fans crossing over. I don't like it.
Yeah, 41 seconds in, Dylan Larkin, 33rd goal of the season on the power play. Patrick Kane and Shane got the spare with the assists. And good to see. Good to see they have a never say die kind of idea in the playoff, in the overtime.
Yeah, absolutely need to. Yeah, you'll love to see it.
Now, home and home starts tonight against the Habs, the Montreal Canadiens.
And we are in a spot where every game's a must win.
Yeah.
Like, you need to win out, and you're going to need some help from either the Boston Bruins or the Philadelphia Flyers.
Yeah, because what are the scenarios? Because it's like, right now, who is in that coveted wild card spot?
Right now, the wild card spot, it's essentially a tie between Detroit, Washington, and Philly, and I'm not entirely sure who has the tiebreaker, but I do know that Philly only has one game left. They match up against the Capitals, and then Washington has two games. They go off and take on the Bruins and then finish off their season, of course, against the Flyers. And
so I have to
the Bruins game's tonight. We have to root for Boston.
We have to root for Boston. I'm done.
Either Boston or Philly, one of the two. And you still need to win out, because if you don't, then
this is all for nothing.
It's all for nothing, and you could very well at that point have one of those other teams or even Pittsburgh jump ahead of you. Like, Pittsburgh needs a lot of things to go their way right now. But the important thing is win out and then hope for a little bit of luck against Boston or Philly.
Yeah, and then...
And neither one of those makes me feel good inside to have to root for, but... This is the situation this team has put us in.
Well, maybe it goes. Maybe they win. Boston wins 1-0 in overtime, and a couple of the key players go out with an injury. I mean, there's a silver lining for you.
I suppose.
Maybe a career-ending injury for Brad Marchand. You know, I mean, sunnier days have happened.
I mean, I suppose. I mean, we're not really wishing anything like that. But
do we have to put Brad Marchand on the apology list for the end of the week?
Wow, yeah, I think you've made us have to do that. Thanks.
Well, we can.
I feel so dirty inside for that, but you've left us no choice.
Feel free to call him the rat when you issue the apologies.
Well, I plan to. Like, he's being put on the list as Brad Ratface Marchand.
So I don't know. Again, I'm going to be. I mean, the playoffs for the Wings started a couple weeks ago. I mean, let's face facts. And they have not answered the bell in some cases, like with the aforementioned Saturday game, where they just showed their belly during that second period. That was some terrible hockey. They were able to get it together. But I guarantee you, Lalonde didn't kick any trash cans, didn't call anybody out, just, hey, well, guys, you're trying your best. Where do you guys want to go to eat after this, huh?
Well, yeah, he apparently gives them all belly rubs after they lose a game against the team they're fighting against for the last wild card spot.
Yeah, they go into the dressing room.
Well, hey, at least you got to overtime, boys. Good job.
Yeah, they give up three unanswered goals in the second period. Third, right in between that intermission, they're like, he's like, well, if he even talks to the players,
he might not.
He probably goes right to like the coach's office and just starts playing Angry Birds or something like that.
Honestly, it'd probably be more effective than anything he's actually done to this point.
As he's walking by, he's like, well, that was an interesting period. Anyway, all right, you guys get some orange slices and let's get back at her, boys.
He's just, what's it, Van Driesen from Beavis and Butthead in the locker room?
You guys are doing okay. You know what? If you don't win this game, it's all right. I still appreciate you.
He
looks like Gru from
Despicable Me.
Despicable Me. He needs to act like it.
I wish he would. I mean, would be a lot better than whatever it is he's currently doing. He makes it to you would think he shouldn't make it another season as head coach.
He should not.
If
really
they don't actually make the playoffs. Like, it seems just so much over this last couple months, like, he's lost the team.
Well, I mean, we touched on it late last week, his comments coming in. Basically, he's already talking about losing next season, too. He's like, well, you know, we're probably not going to make that happen. Yzerman has got to see that, got to hear that, and think, I got to make a change because my seat is getting warm, and I'm Steve Yzerman. Look at my number's up in the rafters. I'm Steve Yzerman. Now everybody's coming after my head. Nope, Gru, you got to go.
Yeah, you've already got people who are starting to question the Iser plan and whether he's the guy. We're not necessarily among those.
No, he is the guy. Look at Tampa Bay Lightning. That's what he did.
Yeah, we can't really question the man's bona fides. He has done, you know, impressive things as an executive in other places, but it's it seems like the seat's starting to get warm among certain sections of the fan base. I mean, you can't trust everything you see on social media, but my, they've been rather reactionary towards the Iser plan there and in the talk radio sphere.
Uh-huh.
And there's no way he's gonna put up with that. So if it's between that and launching Lalonde into the rafters, I think he knows which one he's gonna pick every single time.
Well, I mean, we're already gonna have the catapult there.
Might as well use it there to launch Troy Weaver out. Why not make it a double?
Yeah.
Two for the price of one.
There you go.
On that note, we got to hit a break. It is Happy Hour at your local alternative, Solid State Radio. It is Happy Hour, and I know this is the thing that you have wanted to talk about. You've been chomping at the bit since this news came out on Friday. I'm going to let you have first crack at this, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. And I'm going to apologize to the longtime listeners who are like, oh my God, they're going to talk about the Arizona Coyotes again. Yes, we're going to talk about the Arizona Coyotes. They're not our NHL team. We're Wings fans. But this farce has been unraveling like crazy.
And we talk about it today because there's actual news on that front.
Oh, more news than I could shake a stick at. So, as you know, the Arizona Coyotes, they announced to the players that, we're moving to Utah. I'm assuming they're going to keep the Coyotes name because, I mean, why not? They kept the Jazz name.
Because nothing says Jazz like the state of Utah.
Didn't they get their team from Kansas City or something like
New Orleans?
That? New Orleans Jazz, and then I mean, that's what's happening.
I don't know that necessarily they are going to keep the Coyotes' name though, because I'm not sure if you've seen this part of it.
No.
Within 5 years, Alex Marullo could get granted an expansion team.
Oh my God! Yeah, that's what's got me so fuming.
And presumably, this team would be able to keep the Arizona Coyotes' name and history and all of that fun stuff.
Well, but it's not in. Well, I guess it will be signed. There's going to be a deal signed for $1 billion sometime between the Coyotes' last game and the start of the playoffs on Saturday. $1 billion for that team. Are you serious?
And then they're turning around and selling it to Brian and Ashley Smith, who own the Jazz, for $1.3 billion. So the NHL is going to make a little bit of profit on this because, of course.
Of course. So, I mean,
if you're a franchise owner, you got to be kind of thinking, well, we put up with this for this long. We should at least get some sort of compensation for having to deal with them.
I would think so. But yeah, that was what infuriated me to where the NHL, what is it with Bettman and having hockey in Arizona? I mean, I get it. I know. If you have
media market, that's what it is.
Is it really though? I mean,
it's a top 20 media market at least.
Top 20 out of 30 markets.
Well, top 10, like, as far as in this country. Like, Atlanta is in, like, the top, I think it may be top 5 now. Phoenix is certainly, I believe, top 10.
Really? There was also my theory that Bettman has to have a low-performing team like Arizona, so it brings down the salary cap. So I guess that's in there, but that infuriated me. They are getting rid of the Coyotes. They're moving the Yotes. Because they're underperforming. Nobody seems to want hockey in the desert. That team was kicked out of Glendale Arena. They got an eviction notice. They said, go on, get. We'd rather have RV and boat shows than have hockey here.
At least the RV and boat shows pay their bills, man.
That's another thing. Don't get ahead of me. And then I'm thinking, okay, well, I'm just kind of clapping my hands together. Okay, well, that's that. But then I see this where there's going to be a deal signed where in 5 years, this Alex Morello, if he can show that he has an arena within 5 years, he could get another NHL team. He'll have priority over an NHL team, get expansion draft rights. If I'm Houston, Atlanta, or if I'm Quebec City, I am furious. What is going on? Why is this is Bettman's hubris about having hockey in the desert? It's not working. It actually makes more sense putting hockey back in Atlanta than it does keeping it in Arizona.
Neither one of them makes a particularly great deal of sense.
No, but if you had to pick one right now, where were you? I mean, we the Coyotes.
One's failed twice. The other one has failed miserably for two straight decades.
The other one's currently failing. Let's check the scoreboard. They're playing in a 5,000-seat barn and failing at that.
How does this guy, though, like, how's Alex Marullo get to be the one who gets another shot at having an NHL team, despite the fact, as we alluded to a little bit ago, he can't pay the bills for the current one? How does he get another shot at this? Like, there can't be another competent owner, potentially, that if they were going to bring the NHL back to Arizona, like, they can't make it be someone who at least has a chance of making this thing work, not someone who's already proven he can't.
I saw that on Saturday, where they're saying that the current Arizona Coyotes, they're dining and dashing at a lot of the hotels. Like, you know, they're staying there and then leaving before paying their bill. To where hotels and all the other 31 NHL cities are saying, okay, you got to pay up front. I mean, how infuriating and hilarious is that?
It's both. It really encapsulates what the Arizona Coyotes are, which is infuriating and hilarious.
I mean, what a clown show. What an absolute clown show where it's like, okay,
but let's let this guy have another chance to ruin another franchise in 5 years.
Yeah, there we go. Let's give that another shot.
Can't even pay the hotel that they're staying at. Probably don't even tip the cleaning staff all that.
I doubt it. Well, maybe some of the players actually dip in their pockets and put a couple of ones down on the nightstand. But I don't know. The other rest of the owners have got to be pulling their hair out, going, why is this such a, unless it's braised up with my idea that with them, they can keep the salary cap down and helps their bottom line as well. But I don't know. I don't know. Okay, fine.
But also, if everyone's making more money, then everyone's making more money, though. Like, I can see how it helps, you know, to keep the revenue low for the salary cap purposes, but also, if everyone's making more money, it means that the league is making more money, and that's never a bad thing, you would think.
So here's the thing. Okay, Coyotes, you're going to Utah, you're keeping the Coyotes' name. Marullo.
You can Menudo.
Menudo, if you can have a team within 5 years, but you have to call yourself the Trash Cans.
I like it. They'll never agree to that.
No, they wouldn't. But I mean, the rest of the GMs, the rest of the owners are gonna be like, hey, listen, we're playing the game the right way. We're taking care of our players. We're taking care of our staff. We're taking care of hotels and everything, and flights.
We're extorting our cities for new stadiums the right way.
And meanwhile, you got like, all right, knocking on doors for the Arizona Coyotes. Okay, Snake, let's go. Shh, let's go. Hey, did the Arizona Coyotes pay the bill? No. You Coyotes! I read that and I was just salivating. I was like, I can't wait till Monday when I can talk about this. It's so stupid. It doesn't work. I wish the current players well in Utah. Other than that, Houston, the ownership group, or even Atlanta at this point. I was against them bringing a team back to Atlanta for a third time. At this point, I wish you all well.
I wish the team and the players well, just not necessarily the ownership.
I wish the potential owners in Houston and Atlanta and Quebec City, make yourselves known. Get in there. Save the potential players that could be rotting away in the desert in Arizona because they don't want hockey.
Exactly. Like, Utah, like, that went from 0 to 60 so quick. Like, we heard for so many years about, well, Houston kind of wants a team. Tillman Fertitta, who owns the Rockets, would be a good owner and all that, and it expressed some interest.
Yeah.
And then nothing ever really developed of that. We heard Atlanta, where Anson Carter's got an ownership group together, and it looks like they're going to end up being the next. When expansion happens, they are definitely getting a team.
Yeah.
But that was over a span of a couple years at this point. Ryan and Ashley Smith expressed interest in a hockey franchise, like, what, 2 months ago, and they now have one.
Yeah.
Like, that was just ridiculously quick how that happened. And there's another part of the reason why Quebec City hasn't got a team, despite the fact, I mean, there's
they
a lot
the
of
arena.
Things.
They
look,
have
there's
the
a lot of things working against them. They do have an arena, but it doesn't have the same, like, that city does not necessarily have the same corporate base to, you know, buy all the luxury boxes, because we know that's what's really important these days to the NHL.
Yeah.
There's also the language barrier. I mean, at least, yes, we know the in Montreal, it's a primarily French market, but there is at least some English base there. In Quebec City, there just is not.
Yep.
So you also have that to overcome. And no viable ownership group has really emerged there. Like, you haven't had some guy with more money than sense to speak out and say, like, hey, I want to put a team here. I will absolutely do this. I haven't seen any concrete names tied to a potential Quebec City ownership group. Have you?
No, I have not.
Have you seen something I have not?
I can honestly say I have not.
So until you get any one of those things, because these guys did it the right way. Like, we're out in front of cameras. We're talking to ESPN. Hey, bring us a hockey team. We want to bring hockey to Utah. They were already kind of on that campaign because they're trying to bring a Winter Olympics back to Salt Lake City. They did it the right way. They got out in front of it and were thusly rewarded when the Arizona thing inevitably just fell apart completely.
Yep.
But it's for that reason I don't think you're ever going to see, like, you have a fan base that says, we want hockey back here. Same thing for Hartford, which, sorry, you're never getting a team. Yeah, KC, like, no ownership group has stood out and said that they would be willing to fund to take on a hockey team there. I mean, already they're having issues right now just with the current teams that they have. Not that I think they're going to leave that market, which, just kind of a side note, indulge me for a moment.
Yeah, yeah.
They're trying to get new stadiums, or at least a new baseball stadium and renovations to Arrowhead for the Chiefs and the Royals, and basically the voters have roundly rejected that. they were going to up the sales tax, and, like, no one seems to be in any kind of favor of this, so now threatening relocation, probably just over the border to the Kansas side of that market. But
the Chiefs?
Both? Potentially.
Wow. Didn't they just win a Super Bowl?
Like, people were talking about, well, enjoy when the Chiefs move to St. Louis. Like, look, that's not going to happen because they already didn't, I don't even know if it was they didn't support the Rams as much as it. Stan Kroenke just wanted a team in Los Angeles and was going to get that no matter what he had to do to get it.
Yeah.
But it's really kind of annoying at this point that, like, okay, we just, if you can't get your city to approve that after your team just won a Super Bowl, it's never going to happen.
No.
And the Royals haven't given anyone anything to cheer about in years, so they're sitting here asking for a replacement for Kauffman Stadium. They're never going to get it. Like,
nope.
I don't think the fans there would care if that team left town tomorrow. Kind of like us with the Pistons, really. Like, there's a limit to how much you can try and do this taxpayer shakedown for these public facilities that the city's never going to actually see a dime of revenue on, and it's not going to matter. You build it on the other side of the of town, then people are just going to come back to the actual major city and do their partying and pre-gaming and dining there anyway, so it's not going to be nearly the boon you think it is. Thanks for the money, suckers, basically.
Yep.
But that's a whole other thing that I could probably spend an entire show just talking about. As far as this goes, though, you now know kind of exactly if you're going to get an expansion franchise, you got to get somebody who's got the money to throw at it to get out there and campaign actively for it like these guys did to get theirs to Utah. Because the NHL, like, they're still talking about expansion. You know, they were saying for a while Utah is going to be team 33 and Atlanta would be 34. Now it's Atlanta's probably going to be team 33. Arizona might be 34 if they can get a stadium approved, which... now that they're actually leaving, I'm not confident that that's going to happen.
I don't know what's going to happen. They were talking about a 36-team league by the end of 2028.
I think that's too much.
It is too much. I mean, the NFL...
You're diluting the talent pool at some point.
You really are. Well, I don't know, because you are getting a lot of talent from other European countries. But, point taken, I mean, the 800-pound gorilla, the NFL, doesn't have that many teams.
That's true. And, like, for the most part, like, everyone is kind of, we come to the conclusion, 32, it's a nice round number, the divisions and everything work, there's enough talent to fill out most of the rosters across most of these leagues, it works.
Yeah.
Let's not mess with that, but the NHL, like, they're hungry to expand into any market that'll take them, and, well, hard to blame them for that because they're kind of the fourth-tier sport, unfortunately.
Fourth-tier sport, and they want more teams than any. It doesn't make sense. It doesn't make financial sense. I don't get it.
It makes financial sense for them. For the league, the expansion fees.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Because that's what this is all about, ultimately, you know, too. The expansion fees are where, because the league got, like, what, $750 million when Seattle came to existence? It was like half a bill when it was Vegas.
Yep. That's true.
There's definitely, there's money that they are not willing to leave on the table, and that's why the NHL is where they're at, I suppose.
I guess so. I just hope Ryan Smith, if you're listening, I know you're an avid listener of the show.
Of course.
Keep the Coyote name and keep the Cochina jerseys.
I don't know if they're going to have that option. I think they're going to make them rename them something different.
Oh, jeez.
I love those jerseys. Don't get me wrong. I do. They're my favorite jerseys in the NHL.
Yeah.
Other than, of course, the winged wheel, because how can you improve on perfection?
Exactly.
I don't think, like, I get the sense that the intellectual property is ultimately going to stay in Arizona if they ever get their you-know-what together.
Yeah, that's true.
We got to hit a break. It is happy hour at Solid State Radio. It is happy hour, and we have a follow-up on something that we talked about a month or so ago.
Yeah.
So you may remember John Mellencamp. He apparently decided in Toledo back around St. Pat's weekend that he just had enough of the crowds you-know-what. And
one person was just like, play some music, because he just started going off on all these stories. And there was one guy said, play music. And that got into his, it was a burn his saddle.
So he goes on there. What do you think I've been doing, you bleep? Here's the thing, man. You don't know me. You don't bleeping know me. He then instructed his people to find this guy and let me see him after the show. Another fan said something. He told the crowd, you could stop the show and go home. Tell you what I'm going to do. Since you've been so wonderful, I'm going to cut about 10 songs out of the show. He then began singing Jack and Diane, stopped seconds in, walked off the stage, and then came back and performed a few more tunes.
So was like, I was told that if I don't keep playing, I'm going to get paid. So, all right, here we go. And I'm going to cut out 10 songs, and I'm going to cut out my favorite story about sardines. So what do you think of that, huh? I'm talking about my favorite story of my favorite mail carrier. Yeah, you're not going to. I'm going to deny you that.
Whatever will we do?
So there's further developments?
There is. He had an interview with the Washington Post the other day. A fairly wide-ranging interview, but he did touch on the Toledo thing, though not necessarily by name. He also discussed that his plans for the future and the fact that he doesn't want to do some kind of anniversary tour. The Toledo thing, I guess. He did sort of get around to situations like that involving his shows. Planning to go? Listen up. Quote, I do expect etiquette inside of the theater the same way you would at a Broadway show. My shows are not really concerts anymore. They're performances, and there's a difference between a performance and a concert. Look, I'm not for everyone anymore. I'm just not. And if you want to come and scream and yell and get drunk, don't come to my show.
I mean, he's done all that, so I get it, but I mean, I don't know. You're telling people how to spend their money. You're telling, I don't. I mean, I get it, but I don't get it. You know what I'm saying?
No, I also kind of get it. It just seems weird to me. A guy whose, you know, whole career has been, you know, basically this Heartland Rock kind of thing, and he doesn't expect audiences to be, well, rock and roll audiences. Here, you sit silently through my show. I don't want to hear anyone singing along to anything. A polite golf clap at the end of the song, and that's it.
Yeah. Splendid. Splendid. Yes. This is Jack and Diane's second movement in D major.
Like, comparing himself to a Broadway show.
Right.
I don't get that at all. Like, that's a awfully high opinion of himself, for one, and something that I imagine it's got to throw an audience for a loop. Like, you're expecting, okay, we're going to hear this singer-songwriter go and do a show. Like, you're not expecting it to, you sit here and collect in silence while I do this. And it's just such an odd thing to me. And also, the fact that they asked the question, so of course he's got to answer it. But, like, people are just going to do this more now that they know he's going to have, like, these
these outbursts like this. Like, that's just how it goes, man. Like,
people who don't care about one iota about John Mellencamp or John Cougar, they're just going to get a ticket. Just...
just to troll him. That's what's going to happen. And I guess I should give credit where credit's due to our main man back at Sanilac Broadcasting, Nick Lean, who made that exact point on the M Live article. Like,
yeah.
People are going to troll him at his shows just to get a reaction like this.
It's going to be impractical jokers up in the mezzanine. Tell him to play Born in the USA. Play him,
play Rockin' in the Free World.
Play American Girl. Come on. Oh. Yeah, like, and the new record is he gets halfway through the first chorus of his first song and he gets ticked off and walks off.
Just flipping double barrels the whole way out. And that's probably exactly how it's going to happen, and they're going to have gotten exactly what they wanted out of you.
There was a right around the same time here, a local flavor, Madonna. She
got, the Michigan native that just disowned our entire country.
Oh, pretty much. She was in California right around the same time, and she went off on somebody.
Really?
She was over in Englewood over at the Kia Forum, part of her celebration tour.
What is she celebrating? Did someone actually buy some of her new music? Has she put out new music for like the first time in forever?
I have no idea. I don't know. Have you seen her recently? My goodness gracious. I mean, I'm not getting on her for the fact that she's 65 years old.
Dare she age? You're right. What's the matter with her?
No, she's fighting it. She's Botox this and inflated this, and she's just like, she looks like a brat doll. She's starting to look like a Brad doll. She is. Well, anyway,
people just don't believe in aging gracefully. Apparently, but I mean, as a pop star or as an actress or whatever, you're not really allowed to. But man,
yeah, you kind of sign a contract where you're always going to look the same way. But
you're always going to look 20, even when you're in your 60s.
I don't know. She was performing and she was hyping up the audience and encouraging them to take this ride with me. And then she starts getting on this person for sitting down. What are you doing sitting down over there? Singling out a concert goer. What are you doing sitting down? And she walks to the stage to give this concert goer a little bit more of a piece of her mind. The concert goer was in a wheelchair. Oh. And she's like, okay, politically incorrect. Sorry about that. So now she's being labeled an ableist. A lot of people are like, well, you really want to make things right, take a photograph with her or, you know, give her an autograph or something like that. But yeah, I mean,
meet and greet or something, and she's going to do none of that.
Yeah, I mean, here you are in an enormous dome playing for, you know, 60,000 people. Maybe don't worry about one person sitting down in the front row, or at least, you know, maybe do a little research. Apparently there's audio, and I'm not about to check it out because I don't know if she, the material girl, has a potty mouth. But
yeah,
we're
going to not do that because I'm sure the FCC would probably frown upon whatever she has to say.
What are you doing sitting down? You get up right now. Like, oh, she's in a wheelchair. Like, my bad. Oh, how do I play myself off of this one? I'm a material girl.
You just can't win for losing with these rock stars anymore. It's like either like you're being too quiet, you're not having enough of a reaction, because we had that thing last summer, I believe it was the band Royal Blood, who had complained that the crowd wasn't getting enough into them. We're Royal Blood, and this is something called rock and roll music.
Yeah, perhaps, like, you've heard of it. Yeah. Oh, Blur, they played Coachella over the weekend. They said, this is the last time you'll see us.
They really?
Yeah, they did.
They oh
played
my God.
Coachella, and apparently they didn't find the crowd to be of their liking. And
well, what do you want from us? It's like,
just play a Woohoo song and get off.
I mean, to be fair, like, we don't know what expectation to have for our rock stars anymore. Are we supposed to sit and politely clap after the song? Or are we supposed to, like, jump around and get crazy and sing along and woo? Like, what do you want from us?
The lights used to go down, everybody get excited, and the band would come up and take the stage and play. Now it's the lights go down. Ladies and gentlemen, here is our expectations of tonight's program. We want you to be loud, but not too loud. Use your cell phones for just for lighting, for like instead of a cigarette lighter. You Yeah, and it just, you know, do this, don't do this, and have a good time. Thank you for your hundreds of dollars for a ticket.
Now that we've set forth the rules, I mean, no one likes a heckler. I mean, they're the most annoying part of most shows. Like, you know, there's always a Freebird guy or someone who's got to be a.
Got to make it about them.
Yeah, always someone who's got to do that.
Yeah, there's all that.
And we all hate that person. Like, most of us want to just beat that person down most of the time or throw a beer at them. But like,
yeah, most of us, we just take care of it on our own. We don't usually get the artists involved. But then now it's like you see it with stand-up comedy, you see it with music. People want to have that. They don't even care if it's a good interaction anymore. They just want to have that interaction with somebody on stage. And it's just like, was it because of COVID that we just forgot how to be out in public?
I think so, because you're right. Like, with comedians, people seem to feel the need to crash the stage or heckle more and more.
Throw beers at the stand-up comic? What happened?
At musicians, too. Like, it's become even more of a thing. Like, I feel like it's a combination of that, and people just want to go viral, whether it's for a good thing or not.
Oh, yeah, there is
like,
that.
I want my 15 minutes of internet fame, so I'm going to do everything I can to be as disruptive as possible to get my internet clout for that 5 seconds.
Oh, that's pretty much, that's got to be it right there.
That's what it comes down to. I mean, it's the, God, I feel like I'm starting to sound very get off my lawn-ish here, but it's the TikTok generation. Like, they see these people go famous for something stupid that they did in a store or at a show, and like, I want that to be me. Yeah. I want people to pay attention to me like that. Like, that's how people are anymore.
Yep. Or there's a lot of people who really hold their politics on their sleeve. And I'm not just going to throw it out to the Karens, but they are part of it. They're also going to be like, I didn't like that joke. Or, I want you to stop talking and play something I can dance to.
I am personally offended by whatever it is you just did.
Yeah.
Like, then why are you here?
Let's make it all about me and make everything about me. It's now the Karen Show. There's a bunch of different things, but it is, whether it's Aaron Lewis.
Oh, yes. Shut the bleep up.
Yeah. Because people are like talking during his show, or
because people were having a quiet conversation in the background, you could almost hear it.
Yeah, it's. I mean, some
that's walked off stage multiple times over that.
Yeah, oh yeah, musicians have got to understand that. You know, you are charging way too much for tickets. That's a whole nother conversation. But these people are paying a lot of money. Yeah, you got to realize that they have a say in this at some point. Maybe not to the point where they're throwing beers at you or disrupting your show.
Yeah,
but
heckling,
I mean,
and abusing the performers is still absolutely 100% not kosher.
That's untolerable.
Don't be that guy.
Yeah, don't be that guy. But at the same time, that you should, as a concert goer, you should be able to expect a performance and not just a vanity kind of event like Mellencamp is doing, or singing without a microphone just so he could have that moment like Aaron Lewis was having. I mean,
it sounds
it's
like
not
it's
about
a cool
you
thing if you can pull it off.
If you can pull it off, but every once in a while, if you can't pull it off, just let it go.
Because there was a moment like that at, what was the show? It was, I want to say it's one of the times we saw Zach Myers and Brent Smith from Shinedown over at the shop where they did like the totally acoustic thing, unplugged the guitars, came out front and did the thing, and that was really cool. But at no point were they like doing were they berating the crowd for having the audacity to whisper something to the person next to them. Like, it's still like they understand it's a rock and roll show, and they're not going to, you know, sit there and give that reaction to the crowd, even if they're probably absolutely feeling that way.
Yeah.
Like, you don't react to it. You don't give in to it. You don't indulge it, because that just gives it power at that point.
Yes, it does.
And now it's going to guarantee that anytime Aaron Lewis walks out in front of a stage after singing about how, you know, about America and, you know, how much I hate the left and whatnot, like, how when he actually goes and tries to do that song in front of the crowd, that someone's always going to give him a hard time now. And quite frankly, Mellencamp's about to face a fairly similar fate. Like, the next show he plays somewhere, he's going to get that same reaction, because now they know, he didn't like that. That made him angry. let's get the phones out and get this on video. Yeah. We're about to like go viral. All those sweet, sweet clicks are going to be mine.
Oh, yeah. That's going to happen.
Those likes and likes and follows. Oh, you don't know what you just got yourself into. It's sad. It really is, that the fact that that's even a thing. But yet, here's where we find ourselves now, that people just can't stand the fact that they might not be the center of attention for more than 5 seconds, so they have to go and ruin things for everybody else.
Oh, my.
It is happy hour. We'll come back. We'll close this thing off next. Get a little bit of Javi Baez audio for you. We'll have a little bit of fun with. Stick around. Happy hours as we get set to close this thing off on a Monday afternoon. And I have something sports related over here that kind of ties into the discussion we just had about what's the expectation for fans when they go to either concerts or in this case, sporting events.
Right.
Let's talk about Javier Baez, shall we?
Okay.
The Tigers are currently paying him somewhere in the neighborhood of $90 million to hit, thus far, a robust 140. Over the course of this season, he's been very much not good since he's been here with the bat. He has, you know, flashed of defensive brilliance, but he, I don't think, is even hit over his own weight for his career with Detroit.
Yeah.
And as such, he gets booed a lot. He gets booed at other places. He gets booed pretty much everywhere he goes, including Comerica Park.
And his own, his own place.
Because I think at this point, Tiger fans are just kind of over him. And really hard to blame him. Like, this is the big piece you went out and spent money on, and he's been an absolute disappointment. And he hears you. Yep. Let me tell you, Tiger fans, he hears every bit of it. In fact, when he hit that bomb the other day, he goes up and cups his ear to the fans. Like,
boo that. Come on. I dare you.
Pretty much. So he was asked a question about it after that game, and he had some interesting thoughts on it, and I will go ahead and let him take over from here.
Negativity affect you? I mean, I know there's been times this year where you've been booed after striking out or recording it out by the fans. Does that sort of stuff affect you at all? Or?
Not really. I mean, I've been booed pretty much my whole career, and you know, I know it's frustrating for the fans, but I think that doesn't really help the team and the organization. I think if we grind together, we should stand up together. We should stay together when we're down. So it's not only here. You know, it's happening in other organizations with other players. So it doesn't affect me, to be honest. And I don't think it's really respectful when people talk trash and disrespect you behind a net, you know, that they can say anything. So doesn't affect me, to be honest, and I'm just worried about playing good, you know, and doing good for my team and my organization. So they can do whatever.
But you don't think it's respectful when people boo?
I mean, if fans boo, it's fine, but if they started saying other stuff and cussing at you, it's different, you know? You got family out there, and you got kids out there, and that's not what they're here for.
Now, I don't think any reasonable Tigers fan or human being really could disagree with most of what Javi Baez said there.
No, you can go ahead and boo. I think that is well within your ticket price. If you don't like the product that's on the field, ice, court, it's your right to boo. But yeah, I mean, some people who, they take things to you're terrible, I hope you're kids get hurt, or you know, that kind of stuff, and those people are out there.
No, those people absolutely are out there. Now, what I'm not buying out of what you just said, though, is the it doesn't affect me.
Oh yeah,
because it clearly does.
Yep.
And you know this because you see him react to the booing. And it's not just been here. There was a whole thumbs down thing in New York when he was playing with the Mets. They booed him for so long, then we actually got on base or did something good. You know, that thumbs down to the fans as kind of, you know, flipping them the bird for booing him earlier.
Yep.
And then the, you know, the cup of the year to the fans in the game the other day. Like, no, it absolutely does bother him. It does affect him.
Yep.
If it didn't, he wouldn't react to it the way he does, and if it didn't bother him, I imagine he'd probably be hitting a little bit better.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
Like, I don't feel like that's necessarily really the case from him, that he doesn't, I don't care what the fans do or say or whatever. Like, obviously it does. It absolutely does, and he's taken it very personally, it seems like, with him making gestures and things back to the fans, which, you know, to be fair, he's, I guess, well within his right to do that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
You're not going to make yourself any friends among the fan base, or you're certainly not going to make yourself any fans by doing that, but you're well within your rights to do it.
Oh, absolutely. As long as he's not throwing anything into the stands or singling anybody out or doing things to be disrespectful. But, I mean, when he cups his hand over his ear, say, he's like, well, where are the boos now? I just scored. So, you know, what's going on? So, well, we're paying you X amount. Keep doing that, and we'll stop booing you.
And that's what it comes down to. Like, at some point, you got to kind of own that, you know, if you were a fan, you'd be booing too, man. If you knew your ticket money was going towards basically that as the only major expenditure of this team, and you were performing that badly,
yep,
and really just only seem to want to kind of taunt the fan base back when you actually do something right.
You're not making any friends, that's for sure.
No, he's not. He's not making any friends at all. Like, he's basically building up a fan base that wants to see him get DFA'd at the earliest possible opportunity, which I don't think it could really get bad enough for that to happen. I know other sports pundits seem to think that this team absolutely could do that to him this season. I think there's too much money that I truly believe Chris Ilitch is not going to be willing to swallow for him to go away.
Right.
I don't see it happening. As much as at this current point, having seen now two and a fraction of the seasons of this, I think I've seen more than enough to want it to happen, but I know ultimately there is still a significant chunk of change that's going to have to be paid out somewhere in the like $90-100 million range. Wow. They're not going to just let him walk.
No,
I don't know if even if you continue to hit at a 140 clip, if that would be enough.
140, that'd be a rough one.
Like, 140 at one point, you would not be on a major league roster if you were hitting 140. I feel like 5 years ago, you wouldn't be on a major league roster if you were hitting 140, other than maybe the Oakland A's. Like, there's not a point in time in which that would be considered acceptable by, like, 90% of the fan bases out there. Like, if he played for the Yankees or the Sox, they would have bought him out and sent him on his way a long time ago. And yet, it continues to persist here. And, well, okay, maybe 5 years ago, the Oakland A's thing's not a good example because they were at least making the playoffs occasionally at that point. My apologies to the Oakland A's. God, what has the show come to?
Put them on the apology list, I guess.
But you have to know what's going to happen. You have to kind of expect it, don't you? I mean, you have to know that, yeah, the fan base, they're not going to be particularly happy when they see you and they see you as this albatross on the team. Like, you're not going to get a whole lot of cheers from them until you actually prove that you're doing something worth staying on the roster.
Right.
Like, that's just not how it's going to work.
Yep. Keep hitting the ball. That's going to make the boos go away. Just use that as your inspiration. Every time you hit the ball, less people are booing.
Right? Let it, you know, not bother you in the other direction. On that note, we got to get out of here. A full hour of local original music comes your way next on a little show we like to call Sessions. All being well, talk to you tomorrow at 3. See ya.